The God of a second chance. The God of a second chance. That's the title of the message from Jonah chapter 3 verses 1 to 4, the passage we just read. Have you ever caught up by a traffic police because you have been traveling or driving the vehicle in the opposite direction? Sometimes we have the one way. Unknowingly, we may just enter from the opposite direction. There were times we were stopped. And traveling in the opposite direction, we know it is in a one-way situation, it is very dangerous. Accident can happen at any time. In life, in real life situation, we travel in wrong directions. And we mess up our life journey. It's a serious matter. Sometimes we end up in wrong relationship. Sometimes we end up in wrong habits. Sometimes we end up in wrong ventures for business. We have the stories like Vijay Mallya and Nirav Modi, you know. They traveled in this life through the wrong direction. Love for money, more and more. And you know, the recent, just last week, we heard the founder of Cafe Coffee Day, Mr. Siddharth. What a life he could have been lived in this world if the love of money was not there. If he could have been contented with, you know, more and more things of the world, getting into the wrong direction and ending up destruction in life. Jonah, the character that we have been studying and meditating for these few weeks, was caught up with running in the wrong direction. His life could have been in ruin as he did not take heed of the Lord's call when the Lord asked him to go to Nineveh. He traveled all the way to Tarshish. When God told him to go to east, 500 miles away, that was Nineveh, he traveled all the way, or he wanted to travel all the way, 2,500 miles toward the west direction. That's where Tarshish. Going the wrong direction. Disobeying the will, disobeying the plan of God for his life. But now, God had a different plan for him, which we have been reading from the book of Jonah. God could have crushed him to death. His story could have been over. When the ship got into the shipwreck, as I mentioned to you last week, God could have thrown him into the depth of the Mediterranean Sea and his life would have been over there. But God wanted to send him to Nineveh. God's plan for his life was different. So we know, instead of when he was thrown out of the ship, instead of going down to the bottom of the Mediterranean, God appointed a great fish God has been merciful to Jonah. And in that mercy, what we see, God gave him a second chance. God gave Jonah a second chance. God wanted to preserve his life. So he lived in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, and after that, the fish vomited him out at the shore, and from there, the Lord's plan that he would travel again, he would travel, the Lord's commission would come on him. God will ask him to go to Nineveh. And that's the portion today that we have. The God of a second chance. Our God never gives up with us. That's what I want to focus this morning. Our God never gives up with us. In other words, He waits patiently till the very last moment of our lives. God waits patiently till the very last moment of our lives. Now, for a person who never knew God, that is an unsaved person, our God is like the father of the prodigal son. We know the story of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son got all the things of the father and wanted to go away from the father to indulge into the pleasures and things of the world. And after some time, when he almost ruined his life, he came back. But there, the father, waiting for the son's return, the father waiting for the son's return, thank God, the prodigal son, he came back. The father accepted him. But from the father's side, he waited. Where is my child? What is happening to my child? Do you know that God's desire for the unsaved ones, God's desire is what? None should perish. God's desire is none should end up in hell. For the unsaved, our Heavenly Father waits. When my child whom I have created in mine own image, when he will come back. So many will not come back to the Father, though they have been created. So though they were created in the image of God, they are going to worship instead of worshiping the living and true God. To worship gods made of wood, gods made of stones. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship the handiworks of God. And they have gone. They have gone forever. Rejected God's mercy. The Heavenly Father waits for the last moment, till the very last moment. Where is my child? Are you indulging in the things and pleasures of the world? Neglecting the call of God? God's mercy still awaits. Come home. For the saved, the Apostle Paul says, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, our God is being confident of this, Paul is saying, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the saved, for those who are truly experienced the regeneration of God, Paul says, I am confident with the very thing that God who hath began a good work in me, in us, He will perform. He will fulfill until the day of Jesus Christ. Jonah stands in that category. Jonah was one whom God elected him before the foundation of the world. Jonah was the one whom saved by God, truly regenerated. For such people, we could never run away forever from the presence of God. We may run away for a while, like Jonah running away. But God would make sure this Jonah would come back to my plan. And that's why God so sovereignly, so providentially appointed what? Fish. There is a great thing running through the book of Jonah. It's called the sovereignty of God. I'm preparing a separate message toward the end of studying of the book of Jonah. One sermon particularly to deal with the sovereignty of God in the book of Jonah. God so sovereignly. God didn't want Jonah, end up his life. Because God had a different plan. If Jonah chose going to Tarshish, God's plan for Jonah was he should be in Nineveh. And God in his mercy wanting to give Jonah a second chance. We can never run away from the plan. Temporarily, if we disobedient, if you are truly a child of God, take this into your heart. God will make sure you will come back. God will prepare the situations that you will come back. So my point this morning is this. Don't try to run away from God. Don't try to run away from God. If you are truly a child of God, if you know that God has saved you, make sure when circumstances go wrong in our lives, take some time to confess before God and examine them, come before God. Along with that, the great assurance, as Paul says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our God will never give up with us. Our God will never give up with us. Our God perseveres till the very end of our lives. Thank God for such a God. And we need to understand it carefully like this. If you're truly a child of God, God will provide all the necessary ammunition, even when we end up in a situation where we are almost messing up the things. God will make sure. God will provide a fish that you would be protected, you would be encouraged by that wonderful understanding of God's Holy Scriptures. Before we get into Jonah's incident, let me just mention a few things. People like Adam. Adam sinned. Adam, in the garden when he came short of the glory of God, God covered him. God covered his nakedness. God had a plan to restore Adam by the mercy of God. There are people like Moses. When he was so angry, he killed a man. Do you know that same Moses, God had a plan. He became the great deliverer of Israel. Elijah thought that, he was alone and he was so afraid of Ahab and his wife, wicked wife Jezebel, and run away all the way from north to the south, thinking that he is alone. All the other prophets, all the other people have died. Jezebel killed all God's prophets. He thought that he is alone. But what did the Lord say? Elijah, things are not over. You are not alone. My plan for Israel is not over. My plan for Israel could not be defeated by Ahab or Jezebel. God is on the throne. God told Elijah, get up. There are 600 prophets like you still remaining and preaching and declaring the word of God. Get up. I have a plan for your life. So he got up and continued the ministry. Second chance. Our God is a God of second chance. Peter. In my conclusion, I will come to Peter. The passage that we read from John's Gospel. All through this, the biblical history and all through the history of the church, people thought that things are over. But my dear friends, our God continues in His mercy. When we struggle to understand the things of God, when we struggle in our life because of our own shortcomings in the understanding of things of God, we sometimes try to mess up things, mess up our life. Come to the Lord. Cry out unto God. Lord, I know that you still love me. I know, Lord, your plan is still for me. I want to get on the right track. God of second chance. So in the case of Jonah, I have 2 points. Very quickly I will deal with these 2 points. Verses 1 to 2, second chance begins with God's mercy. Second chance, when God gives unto us, it begins with God's mercy. Our God is a merciful God. And Jonah just experienced the goodness and the mercies of the Lord in his life. And that's why just now I explained in chapter 1, verse 17, when Jonah was almost ended up in destroying his life. Chapter 1, verse 17, what do we read there? We meditated this particularly, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 17, okay? Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. When Jonah messed up things, God's grace, God's mercy. Instead of Jonah's sin swallowing him up, God's grace, God's mercy swallowed Jonah's sin. Jonah has been preserved. Second chance begins with God's mercy. And chapter 2, verse 9, the portion that we meditated last Lord's Day, what was that? Chapter 2, verse 9. What was the title last Lord's Day for our message? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah repented before God. As he was in the fish belly, it was a time for self-examination. So he had the prayer of repentance. What are the 3 R's that we studied last Lord's Day? Prayer of repentance, prayer of restfulness, and finally prayer of resolution. Don't forget, easy to remember. That was a heart of repentance. When you experience the mercy of God, Jonah, when he was in such a devastating situation in the belly of a fish, he could say, everything is over, my life is over. No, not at all. Because as he was a child of God, as he was under the mercy of God, as he was covered by the mercy and forgiveness of God, when the mercy and forgiveness of God surrounded Jonah, He responded with what? In such a devastating situation in his life, he responded with what? He repented. I call it prayer of repentance, which we studied from chapter 2. He cried out unto God, prayer of repentance. And then prayer of restfulness means what? In God I rest. I want to go into the temple of my God. I want my Savior. Restfulness. When things go in the wrong way, don't say it is my destiny. No destiny. When the Lord appoints the things and when things happen, come to the Lord. Even when things go wrong because of the mess of life, come to the Lord. Let God's word be our strength, source of strength. We find rest, we find peace, we find comfort in God. And that's what Jonah did. Prayer of restfulness. And finally, prayer of resolution. I will sacrifice unto thee, O God. I will pay my vow, O God. That was the experience of Jonah. That's where he could really experience the mercy of God. Even to come such kind of thoughtfulness in his heart to cry out unto God, because God had not, God was not there to destroy Jonah's life, but God was there to give a second chance to Jonah. So he repented, he cried out, he made this resolution. Salvation belongs to God. God is our Savior. God is for us. Physically, He is for us. Spiritually, He is for us. So even when we end up in sickness and all, my dear friends, don't give up. If God be for us, Romans 8, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? The chapter of great victory, Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? After Paul expounded the entire doctrine of salvation, God by His great mercy reached out unto sinful people like you and I. That's what Paul explains, chapter 8, as he begins. Thanks be unto God. We have such a God. All things works out for good for those who love God, those who are covered by the mercy of God. In our sickness, in our financial struggle, if you are truly a child of God, cry out unto God. There's a second chance. There's a second chance. God will work things out for us, because God's mercy covers us. How many times, dear friends, we have experienced the mercy of God in our lives? How many times? But please remember, God was never under obligation to help you and I. God is not with any obligation to help us. Who we are? We are disobedient, rebellious, sinful people, right? It is not because of any obligation on the side of God that He reaches out unto us. It is because of purely His mercy, His grace. We never merited unmerited favor. God's mercy, God's grace. Now as Jonah understands God's dealings in such a manner, as he had experienced the God's mercy, verse 1 of chapter 2, chapter 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3, Jonah comes to the Lord, and the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go, and preach. Three imperatives. Okay, three imperatives. The word of the Lord came second time. That's where the second chance. God have forgiven him because he repented. He came back to the Lord. He heeded the Lord's call as the Lord covered him with his mercy. And he The word of the Lord came unto Jonah second time. What was the word? Arise. Get up. You are not to be in the fish belly. You are not to be at the shore, Jonah. You have a ministry. Arise. Go and in Nineveh, that great city, and preach. God's direction for our life is very specific. Oh, let me put this way before that. God's plan for our life is very specific. Sometimes we struggle to understand. It may take some time for us to understand. But God's plan for our lives is never in ambiguity. You understand? When God planned Jonah's life, it was very clear for God. Jonah struggled to understand. And now the Lord tells the second time again, Jonah, this is what you need to do. God's plan for our lives are very specific. And we need to understand, Lord, what is your specific plan for our lives? For my life, Lord. What is your specific plan for my life? Should I try to make friendship with this lady or this man? As a youngster, you grow. Should I take this course? Should I get into this business venture? The many choices we need to make in our lives. Make sure we do so carefully, because the Lord has His specific plan for our lives. The Lord leads us, the Lord guides us through various ways. And when this circumstance happened in Jonah's life, he was sensitive. And that's why when he was ended up in the fish belly, instead of resolving to his, say, this is my destiny, he looked unto God. The circumstances led him to cry out unto God. Lord, I am so sorry that I ran away from thee. I did not take heed your call. God wants us to get into the right path. And all because of His mercy. Now, very interestingly, verse 2, when the Lord says, arise, go unto Nineveh and that great city and preach unto it. Now, listen to this. The preaching that I tell thee. When the Lord calls you for something, the Lord will equip us. The Lord will give us a wisdom. The Lord will guide us. So God told very specifically, Jonah, when you go to Nineveh, what are you supposed to preach? By the way, God's servants, it is not for us to preach any nonsense. It is what the Lord has revealed in His holy word today. The written word. God told very specifically to Jonah, this is what I have for you, Jonah. You go and proclaim my instruction. Dear friends, God wants us to listen to what He says unto us, what He calls us to do. And that is where I want to enter into as my second point. The second chance happens with an obedient heart. The second chance happens with an obedient heart. When we come to verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now when the second time the call came upon Jonah, did he listen to the call? What the word of the Lord says? When the Lord told him, arise, go and preach. By the way, this was very similar to the first call. Take a look into chapter 1. Turn back to chapter 1. When the first call came, what did God tell to Jonah? Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. The construction is very similar. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Then verse 2. Arise, go to that great city, for their wickedness is come up before me. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the first time. Did Jonah listen? First time, he did not listen. When the Lord told, you go to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. But when the second time, when the Lord extended another opportunity to Jonah, according to God's mercy, God's will, we see Jonah a different man, because he went through for disobedience, he went through the consequences. And now, what did Jonah do? Verse 3. Come back, chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. This is what? This is obedience. This is obedience. Now, book of Jonah, we have 4 chapters. We can get the outline of the 4 chapters very easily. Chapter 1, Jonah ran away from God. Chapter 2, Jonah, as he repented, ran toward God. Chapter 3, as he now listened to God's call, Jonah runs with God. And finally, when we come to chapter 4, Jonah had some disappointments when he went to Nineveh, when the, when people repented. We will study that later. But what we see overall in chapter 4, Jonah trying to run ahead of God. I have given you the outline. 4 chapters, 4 runs. When we come to chapter 3, yes, I just now mentioned in the outline, Jonah now runs with God. He ran away from God. He ran away from the presence of God. Did God leave him? No, God followed him. God followed him. We cannot run away from the presence of God. But he, as a person, as an individual, was responsible. He ran away from the presence of God. And then he repented in chapter 2. He runs toward God. Lord, I want to now come to your temple. And now, as he learned the lesson, he runs with God. Jonah arose, went and did away according to the word of God. This is obedience, my dear friends. Running with God. Running for God. That is what an obedient life. And that's what we see here. So in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. By the way, that was the message. The message that he had to preach, God gave to him, was very straightforward. God's judgment is going to come upon Nineveh. What do you need to do, people? Oh, you need to take a heed. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. If you don't repent, Nineveh shall be overthrown. The message of judgment. Today I was listening to a sermon, a conversation with the two pastors or the YouTube, and talking about whether there will be God's permanent punishment. Today it is very popular, since God is a God of love, justice of God has been very much undermined in the understanding of the people. It begins from Rome and it goes today wider, far and wide. There won't be any permanent judgment. God is a God of love. God will not be permanently going to put people into hell. Then God told Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. What was the message? God's mercy will be there, God's forgiveness will be there, but at the same time, yet 40 days, if Nineveh would not repent, they would be overthrown. And we thank God, Nineveh is listened to the call, and that's chapter 4, later we will see. But the message was very clear. Jonah finally heard the call of the Lord and obeyed the Lord, and he went and proclaimed the message. Dear friends, true revival, true working of God in our lives begins with what? Begins with obedience. True revival, true working of God in the right direction begins in our life with obedience. And that's what the remaining portion of chapter 3 we will meditate next Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day I will be preaching on repentance and revival from verse 5 onwards. But this is where it began. When Jonah heeded the Lord's call, when he went to Nineveh with the message of God, and when he proclaimed, people of God came to know the truth and great revival. And for our own lives, we come to God. When the Lord gives chance after chance, we don't neglect it. And that is where my conclusion. Please turn with me now to Gospel of John. Let me just mention a few things from there, and then we will conclude the meditation this morning. John chapter 21, the passage we read for responsive reading, there we have the example of Peter. Did God give Peter a second chance? Oh, what was first time Peter's condition? John chapter 21, Gospel of John chapter 21. We read that passage, so I want to highlight just one or two things from there. Peter had a difficult time in his relationship with his master. He was a very enthusiastic person to do things for God. In that enthusiasm, sometimes it became over-enthusiasm. And many times that over-enthusiasm would take us into wrong directions. Our enthusiasm should be within the guidance of God's word, which Peter struggled in his life. But God never gave up with Peter. Please listen to this. God never gave up with Peter. Why? Because Peter was a chosen vessel of God. God had a plan. God had a plan for Peter. Later we will see in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter stood up. Peter preached a message. How many people were converted? How many people were converted? How many people? How many? 3,000, right? There's a great conversion happened. We thank God. We thank God for great, you know, momentum happening with that man. But Peter had his own trouble in his life. God never gave up. That's the point. God gave a second chance. In fact, chapter 21 of John's Gospel, passage that we read, was a second chance for Peter. How did God deal with Peter? Verse 15. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Then all these things. Do you know what happened after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus appeared to Peter and the other disciples. And then they were very much excited. Oh, the Lord rose up from the dead. After some time, what did Peter do? Peter went for fishing. Peter went with others for fishing. And that was the time Jesus again came to Peter. Peter was such a man, you know. I mean, over-enthusiasm. And God wanted to put things right with Peter. God wanted Peter to be a man to take care of his sheep. So the Lord asked, as the Lord gave him second time, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? The word there is agapao, agape. Do you regard me with a high esteem? Peter, do you love me? Do you regard me with a high esteem?
Peter's reply, I love thee, Lord. The word that love there in Peter's reply, it is phileo. It was an affectionate love. And then the third time when Peter, the Lord again asked, do you love me? Where phileo, do you have a regard for me? Peter replied a second time, I have an affectionate love for thee, O Lord, verse 16. And then the third time, Jesus asked, do you love me, O God? Do you love me, Peter? There, the Lord used the word phileo, affectionate love. Do you truly have an affectionate love for me? And that's what Peter said first time, I love you, O God. I have an affectionate love for you. Again, second time, the Lord asked, do you regard me with a high esteem? What is the priority? Do you regard me as the priority in your life, Peter? Peter said, Lord, I have an affectionate love for you. And finally, Jesus asked, are you, Peter? Do you have an affectionate love for me? And Peter finally said, yes, Lord, I have an affectionate love for you. You know everything. What Jesus wants from us is not just a love, not just regarding God with a high esteem. Anybody can regard God as high esteem, general love. Much more than regarding God with high esteem, not much more than respecting God. Muslims respect, Hindus respect, but God wants us what? From our heart. Is an affectionate. Lord, I personally know you. I have a personal love. I have a personal relationship with you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. God had given up with Peter when Peter went, you know, that time for fishing. Peter's story would have been over. But God gave Peter chance after chance. Even when he went to fishing, the Lord went to the seashore searching for Peter. Right? That's what you read. The previous portion. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to search for Peter. That is a second chance. That's a second chance. That's what chance after chance, by the mercies of God, we belong to Him as a peculiar people. Don't think that you can run away. Don't think that you can run away from God. David says, where shall I run away from the presence of God? If I go at the bottom of the sea, you are there. You are a child of God. You are a chosen of God. God comes to us with His mercy. He wants us. But we need to respond to God as who responded? Jonah responded, Lord, I give up. Sorry, I got into the wrong ship. Sorry, I wanted to go to Tarshish. Sorry, O God. Repent. I have three C's in my conclusion. Compassion of Christ, the marks of a second chance. Take note, four C's. The marks of a second chance. Compassion of Christ. God was so compassionate that He appointed a fish for Jonah. God was so compassionate for Peter. The Lord went in search of Peter at the Sea of Galilee. Compassionate Christ. And God confronted Jonah. God confronted Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me, Jonah? Do you love me, Peter? Do you have an affectionate love for me and my cause? And finally, and thirdly, contrition by the sinner. The sinner repented. Jonah repented. Peter repented. And finally, the commitment by the sinner. Jonah made the commitment, I will go to the temple. I will pay my vow. That's a resolution. And that's the resolution we need to make. The Lord comes unto us with his compassion. The Lord will never give up. The Lord will never give up with us. Please, that's the love of God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. God is not obliged, remember I mentioned already, but he comes to us by his great mercy. Great mercy he comes to us. He wants to save us. He wants to save us evermore. A compassionate Christ, but he confronts. Situations will be difficult for us if we run away. If we run away from him, he will make things very difficult for us. To make sure that we come back to him and we repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, and finally making a commitment. What is your relationship with God? Are you running away in the opposite direction? The police will come. Great damage, great accident will happen. Your life will be ruined. One very talented IAS officer, which I just heard 2 days ago in Kerala, Trivandrum. Very talented IAS officer. He just came back from the overseas, 2 years of extra studies, and the government appointed him. Very promising, very talented IAS officer. 2 days ago in the midnight, he was caught drinking and perhaps womanizing, and then he got into the car, and early in the morning he drove with the influence of the alcohol and met with an accident. His car hit a motorcyclist, a journalist, on the spot. That young man died. That the journalist died. And this man was caught hold of by the police, and now he is, you know, in jail, and he is under remand. Very promising young man. He was raising voices against illegal things and all, and but where is his life? Alcohol took hold of his life. Womanizing took hold of his life. He destroyed his life. Running in the wrong direction. Running in the wrong direction. Where is our life, my dear friends? We thank God we could come today and hear this message. It's the mercy of God. We pray that we come to God and we love him and we live for Christ. That is our life. A compassionate Christ calls us. And listen to his call. As he confronts us and our contrition. Lord, forgive my sin. I am a sinner. I have wasted my time. I have wasted my time. Lord, forgive me. I want to follow you. And that's what the Lord told Peter. Take care of my sheep. Follow me. Shall we pray?